5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Okay, today's guest is Mark Brackett. I have quoted his research so many times, but he is a professor at Yale. He also is the founding director of the Yale Center for Emotional Intelligence, and he's also an author. He had a book recently come out called Dealing with Feeling, and his previous book is Permission to Feel, which is a best-selling book. And he talks so well to parents all about the importance of emotional regulation, which I didn't realize the profound importance of until becoming a parent myself. And now with a 5, 3, and a 1-year-old, I am practicing all of his tools constantly, all about regulating my emotions to help regulate my children's emotions. So I'm excited to dive into this. The words emotional intelligence are relatively recent with how we talk about it so openly. And then just the emotional regulation aspect of it before you have kids, but also while you have kids, is absolutely the most key thing to parenting ever.
I mean, I think I'm making an audacious claim now in my new book, which is that it's like the key to success in life. No matter where you go, right, emotions are underneath your performance. I mean, even right now, right, we're trying to set up. If you can't get yourself settled, like you're going to sound weird, you're going to be distracted. So you said the word emotional intelligence. That's a set of 5 skills. It's about self-awareness of recognizing emotions, understanding those emotions, putting words to those feelings, having labels, knowing how to express them. And then this last project that I've been really focusing on is the last R of RULER, which is emotion regulation, learning how to use all of your emotions wisely.
And what does that really look like? Because I think it looks different maybe for people who are doing it in the presence of children versus focusing on yourself.
Yeah. Well, I think firstly, what I should say up front is that since we have a lot of parents that will be listening, this is about self-regulation. So can Mark calm his nervous system when the baby's screaming or when the kid is whining or whatever it is? The kid comes home from school saying, I hate school. It could be anything. The kid says something that you just can't believe just came out of their mouth and you're like out of your mind. Like, where did they learn this?
And
you have, yeah, exactly. So if you can't self-regulate, you can't what I call co-regulate. You're not going to be helpful at supporting your kid manage their emotions if you can't be the best possible role model.
I think that's an important key thing to tell parents. If you can't self-regulate, you can't help your child co-regulate.
Correct. Think about this. I need you to calm down. Not that helpful.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't focus, I mean, if I tell you one more time to focus, it's going to be hard to focus when you're yelling at your kid and you're hijacking them. So number one is self-regulation. And number two is the ability to transfer that knowledge to your child through co-regulation. And I think it starts with a mindset. We spoke about this actually a couple of years ago with my first book called Permission to Feel. And I've gone on to do more research in that space. And essentially, if you don't give yourself the permission to have your feelings, all of them, the good, the bad, the pretty, the ugly, and you don't give your child the permission to have those feelings, there's nowhere to go. Because a core rule of our center's work is that there's no such thing as a bad emotion. All emotions are data. They're information. And we have to become curious explorers as opposed to critical judges. That's step one. How does that sound?
It sounds good, and it reminds me of the video that I watched of yours that talked about from a parent's perspective that when your child has big feelings, as we call them today, angry, sad, frustrated, all the different feelings that we think that our job is to fix it or stop it. And that what you're saying is that we should switch that frame of mind to allowing our kids to feel all of those feelings and ourselves and identify them, but not fix them or stop them. Is that correct?
There's nothing to fix because the feelings are going to come whether you like them to or not. Life is just a roller coaster ride of emotion. The issue here is that if you try to fix your kids' feelings, they're never going to become resilient because they're not building the muscle. And so the co-regulation process is providing the scaffolding. Honey, let's take a walk together. Honey, let's do some breaths together. Let's think about another way that we can think about the situation to help ourselves feel more calm. But you're not saying calm down or focus on this or be positive or suck it up. What you're doing is you are offering ideas based on research to support your kid in learning those strategies with the goal of them being able to apply those strategies on their own when they're at school or when they're on the bus or when they get older. Now, if you're in this game to like, I don't want my kid to suffer. I don't want my kid. I have to problem solve. They have to feel happy all the time. You're setting your kid up for a very non-resilient adolescence and adulthood.
Yeah, I think that that's the trick that's like different than maybe how historically we were taught or even experienced our own childhood is like this idea that feelings are welcome. And I remember hearing once that the reason that generations before us have experienced things like addiction or being physical or something, ways of coping that are not taking a walk outside or doing deep breaths, is because they were told to stuff the feelings down and not feel the feelings. And so when I heard that, I was like, okay, I don't want that for my children. I really want them to be equipped with the tools to be able to say on their own, I want to take deep breaths. I want to go outside. I want to pet a dog, whatever that looks like for a child. And so that to me is like a shift in perspective and allows me to understand it. I feel like where I watch parents have a hard time with this concept, including even my husband, that's different than me, because he had also, of course, a different upbringing than I did, is allowing your child to feel the feelings and give them the tools when you've been raised with someone saying, cut it out, stop doing that. And I'm sure this comes up with parents that you talk to all the time.
Yeah.
Like my mom was, I feel like very lucky. My mom was very advanced.
Yeah, your mom's a feelings person for sure.
She's a feelings person. So like I grew up with a kind of a happy medium of my dad being like, cut it out. And my mom saying, let's go take a walk.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus T&Cs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is all in this bucket number one, I call it, which is all about the mindsets. That people grow up with mindsets around emotions. And those mindsets can be curious explorers or critical judges. Enough is enough. Calm down, whatever that is. Or be strong. My father was very similar. My father would say, you know, son, you got to toughen up. I'm like, Dad, look at me. It's not going to happen. It's like there's something called genetics. And so, like, I have a fifth degree black belt, just so you know. So I am somewhat of a tough guy.
I've watched videos of you talking about your karate and jujitsu and all that.
But the thing is, like, what that's you know, nowadays we call that toxic masculinity. And we know the results of that. Gosh, we know the results of that if you're paying attention these days. And so if you deny, ignore, suppress your feelings, they have to go somewhere. They're going to go to aggression. They're going to go to internalizing, which will result in heart problems or immune system problems. Your emotions have to be released. Just it's part of being human. And so if we can show people how to do it wisely with evidence-based strategies, and they see the value proposition, oh, if I learn how to manage my anger more effectively, people are going to want to be around me. I'm not going to have to be so isolated and alone with that feeling. I think that's what we're working on in my work, and that's why I write these books. It's like, you got to see the value proposition because your life is going to be better if you have strategies. And that leads to the second bucket, which is you got to know how you're feeling. Ask me how I'm feeling, please.
How are you feeling, Mark?
Fine. You know, that's what most people say, right?
Yeah. But if you say fine, my mom always says, what's under that?
Exactly. Right. And then if someone says, I'm feeling this odd mixture of anxiety, overwhelm, and despair, you're like, oh gosh, like get away from me.
Yeah, you're like, well, I did not want that.
I got to go to work. I got to drop the kids off. Like, I don't got time for that. But yet, truth is, many people these days are feeling a lot of emotions. And so I always say you have to label it to regulate it, because if you don't know what you're feeling, it's hard to know what to do with that feeling. And here's a good example. People right now are reporting a lot of anxiety, and say they also say the word stressed. They also say overwhelmed. And to like the common everyday person who's not an emotion scientist like me, right? What that sounds like the same thing, right? Anxiety, stress, overwhelmed, kind of, oh my. But think about it. If you know these emotions well, anxiety is about uncertainty. I get anxious when I can't, I don't know what's going to happen. I can't predict. I'm stressed when I have too many demands and I can't meet those demands. I got so much on my plate. I just can't get it done. That's stress. Overwhelmed is when you just feel like you can't focus anymore. You're just saturated with emotion. So three related but distinct feelings in the same category of anxiety or stress, but completely different pathways to healthy regulation. Just take a moment and think about it. So if you know if you're like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? I can't control it. You can take all the breaths you want, and then you're going to still be ruminating about the future. Because if you're overwhelmed, for example, you might just say, you know what? I need a break. That's when I'm going to take a step outside. I'm going to look at the mountains. I'm going to take some breaths. I'm going to just give myself some space because I just need some clarity. No problem. If I'm stressed, I have two options. I can do less or get help. Otherwise, the stress ain't going away. Do you see what I'm getting at? If I'm anxious, I've got to probably engage in a lot of self-talk, Mark. I remember during the pandemic, we were all going nuts with masks, no masks, vaccines, no vaccines, schools closed, blah, 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 blah. And I would just sit at home because we were closed. My team would say, when are we going back to work? I'm like, I don't know. And I don't know. And then I would be like, Mark, you're not the CDC. You're not the president of the university. You have no control over this. You got to not. You can't be. If you sit around all day long worrying about when is this going to happen, when is that going to happen, you're going to go crazy. So shift your thinking. And I'm giving these examples because I think there's really clear that when you can help yourself as a parent, when you can help your kid be really crystal clear about what they're feeling, it's going to be an easier pathway to finding the best strategy to support them.
So can we do role play? Because I like to do with parenting. I feel like this is, for me, I do best with all of the parenting tools that I have experienced and even just the ones for myself when I have like scripts in my mind that I can go to as tools that I can tap into when I need them for myself, or if my child's having a tricky time, I can tap into.
I'm going to give you a quick kind of hack at the end, but let's role play first.
Okay. So let's say this is like a regular occurrence, but let's say my daughter doesn't want to go to bed. She doesn't want anyone to help her get ready for bed. She wants to play longer. And it's the end of the day, which is, of course, the perfect time to have a meltdown or a hard time getting ready for bed. And you as a parent, and I think every parent has been there, where you're tired and you're like, I'm ready to go to bed myself. Your kid's not tired, not cooperating. Then it's met with, I don't want to go to school tomorrow. I don't like my school. I just want to go do X, Y, and Z. I don't want to do all of the things. A parent does what?
Well, firstly, you can sing a song like, you can't always get what you want. I mean, seriously, you can make it. I would actually play with it sometimes, truthfully. Like, just that will loosen you up a little bit. Truthfully, you'll be, you know, just like, I'm not joking.
No, I know you're not.
Being playful about it is actually a way to get kids out of their kind of rut. Get them to laugh a little bit. Mommy, what are you doing? That's so stupid.
Yeah.
Okay, honey. Yeah, it was. But now we're going to talk about this. What I want to say about that is I'm going to give you another tool, which is I think that so many parents and people in general are always reactionary when it comes to dealing with stuff. Now, how many could you predict over the course of a year that this is going to happen a number of times?
Like how many times?
Just a number. It's going to happen more than once, right?
Of course. Yeah.
Okay. So you kind of know this is like a pattern. It's like a whole thing about the end of the night, blah, blah, blah. So one of the things, and how old is your daughter now?
One's 5 and 1 is 3.
Okay. Great. Well, they both have language at this point, I'm guessing. Yeah.
Very, a lot of language.
Yeah. Well, what you do at breakfast, not when the craziness is happening, when they're whining and screaming and trying to be recalcitrant. What you do is you say, we're going to create some family norms about bedtime. And so it's nighttime. How do we want to feel at night before we go to bed? What do you want to feel? I want to feel calm. How do you think mommy wants to feel? Oh, probably calm too. Okay. So let's outline together what that looks like for each of us. And then you literally empower the kids to come up with the strategy for what's going to help them feel calm and get settled to be in bed. I do this a lot, like with teenagers. The thing that comes up a lot with parents is respect. It's like, I don't want you barging into my room. You're so rude. You're nasty. You're the blah, blah, blah. And the mother's like, well, I've called you 17,000 times to come down for dinner. Enough is enough. And so can we agree that respect is important for both of us? And can we describe what that looks like for each of us and have it agreed upon norms about how we'll respect each other? And so for me, the teenager, it's please knock on the door before you walk into my room. I'm a teenager now. Is that okay? Can we do that? Good. And the mom will say, can we agree that if I have to ask you more than twice to come down for dinner, it's really freaking annoying? Yeah, we can agree. Okay, so when I'm calling you, you're going to know that that is what respect means for me. And when I come to look for you in your bedroom, you're going to know that I'm not going to walk in because I'm going to knock before I do. And so it just creates really clear norms. We call that creating an emotional intelligence charter for a home. And people love it because it just gives you a forward-looking way of creating just positive norms.
I love that.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step 3, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
In the moment that it's just absolute refusal, and you're, as a parent, you're feeling frustrated and you're feeling like you're, I'll say to my kids it, when this happens, I'll say like, I'm feeling really frustrated.
Yeah. And they're like, who cares?
And they'll say, no, actually my daughter Lila yesterday said, cause she could tell I was feeling frustrated because my kids have been sick and it's been like a whole thing. And she'll say, mommy, was today a tricky day for you?
That's cute.
Yeah. And I'll say, you know, it was a tricky day for me. She'll say, I can tell.
That's, I love that.
Okay. Yeah. So when you have those moments where you have a plan and you've talked about the plan and it doesn't go, what are the tools? Cause I want parents to also understand, and even people, like if you're communicating with a partner or a friend or a coworker and you feel those feelings coming up, what are some tools of what you can do in those moments to not erupt on someone?
So your kid is in the bedroom, you set the charger, it's not working, they're having the meltdown. What do you do in that moment? I mean, the first step is you always have to be the role model. So you got to take that breath and deactivate your nervous system, because you yelling or screaming or threatening is not going to have a good outcome for anybody. And also, it's the end of the night. You don't want cortisol levels to spike. You don't want that for your own good sleep. And you don't want that for your kid, because that's just going to make things go higher and higher and higher. You want to bring the energy down. So what I wanted to ask you now is to fill in the sentence. As a mom, I would like my daughter to see me as someone who has these qualities. Over to you.
What are the qualities?
Yeah.
Unconditional love, patience, kindness.
That's good. So unconditional love, kindness, and patience. So that's kind of now in your mind, you're saying, Catherine, no matter what, remember you're that loving, kind, patient mom. And so that's your mantra. You're going to like keep that in your brain, because that's going to help guide your behavior. Just reminding yourself. For me, just so you know, because I run the Center for Emotional Intelligence and I have this visual of this like guru who's like the director of the Center for Emotional Intelligence. And so whenever I'm like triggered or activated, I'm like, Mark, remember, you're the director of the Center for Emotional Intelligence. How would that person respond? And it's amazing. Because Mark wants to rip somebody's head off, but the director of the Center for Emotional Intelligence is like, it's like the Wizard of Oz, you know, it's like, you know, and so it does help you shift into a more proactive, healthy place. The second is that my big question for you is, can you make the request and leave?
Like leave the room?
Yeah. Just say, honey, we set the rules. It's time to go to bed. I'm happy to sit with you and do the reading for 5 minutes. I'm happy to, whatever you want to wind down. Would you like one of those? I'll give you three things we can do. We can do a little breathing exercise together. We can read together. We can tell stories. And we've got about 5 minutes to do that. And then mommy's going to have to go to bed too. And then, you know, they may not. And you say, that's the option right now. And I think the big issue here is that you, or people in general, think, I'm a terrible parent if I abandon my child. My kid's going to grow up thinking with a terrible attachment style. No, you've already told them you love them. You already gave them clear options. And then I think the big thing as you walk out of the room, you have to ask yourself, is this really something that's worth the fight? Like in a week from now, am I going to reflect on this and say, oh my God, that was the worst thing I ever did? What do you think?
No.
There you go. So it's probably not that big of a deal.
All of these tools are so amazing. And I'm like, even just thinking about so many different ways that I can put them all into action in various moments, and also like share them with other people to help in their moments of feeling overwhelmed or stressed or triggered or whatever the feeling is. One of the things I love about the idea of emotional intelligence as a whole, and then also emotional regulation, is that it's never too late to implement into your life, which is such a exciting idea.
Yeah. It's never, I mean, literally, I'm 56 now, hard to believe. And I tell you, it's like as a professor, as a husband, being in a relationship for 31 years, guaranteed you still get triggered after 30 years.
Yeah.
And it's like being a leader is difficult sometimes. Watching the news is difficult, even now. And so it's like in these moments, I catch myself sometimes, for example, I think right now I have a bit of an addiction to keeping track of what's happening in the world. And it's really messing up my sleep.
Yeah.
It's really messing. Like last night, I had a horrible night's sleep because I was on social media from 10 p.m. till midnight. That is against my rules. Like I was like, Mark, you wrote about this 1,000 times. You teach this 1,000,000 times. And now you're doing it. And I woke up this morning really not in the best psychological place. And I just said, you got to go back to your rule. That phone is going in a different room. Period. You just got to do it. No matter how FOMO you have, it's not going to, the news cycle is not that fast. You can check it the following day. And so again, like that's something, here I am as like an expert in this space. And because of whatever's happening, I want to keep in the know, and that is not helpful for my well-being. And I've got to work on that. As you get older, your kind of life space changes, and you can't predict how you're going to feel when someone you love gets sick. So we can always work on these skills, always.
For someone who is listening or has read your book, which I always tell everybody definitely to read your books, regardless of what phase you are in life, because the tools are so important and so needed, especially in the world that we're in today. Where would you tell someone who says, okay, I want to implement these tools into my life. I want to be emotionally intelligent and be able to practice co-regulation with my emotions and regulate my own emotions. Where do they start?
I think step one is that they have the awareness that they want to learn something, which is great. It's because the motivation matters. It's like going to the gym. Like if you're not motivated, you're not lifting up the weights.
Yeah.
You know, so you need the motivation. And I would ask them to think about a goal. Like, what do they want? What aspect of their life do they want to see improve as a result of applying these techniques? Is it stress? Is it relationships? Is it sleep? One of those things, you know, are pretty the top three these days. And just say, okay, I'm struggling with connection right now. I mean, that's such a big deal right now. I just wrote a piece about this. The title of my article is AI is the symptom, not the disease, because so many people are going to AI for mental health support and even dating their chatbots and using it as a therapist. And as I said, I'm 56. I did years ago, I was like, when I was a kid, because of my issues, I was on video games all day long. Then it was a Walkman. Then it was internet. Then it was social media. Now it's AI. It's the same thing. The challenge that we have in our society is that we have failed to help people build healthy relationships. If you think about it, if your child is reaching out to AI to get mental health support, it's because they don't see you as a person who gives them permission to feel. And so I just think we're blaming AI, we're blaming social media. Yes, there's reasons to blame it, but the real issue is that we don't focus on healthy social and emotional development. So sorry, I had to make that. It was my little speech for today. But the first step is motivation. The second step is you can read, obviously, a little self-promotion there. But I think step one in the strategizing is permission to feel. I'm going to let my anxiety, for example, even though a lot of work in this space, I'm someone who has a proclivity to experience anxiety more than other people. I used to think anxiety was a bad emotion. That's what I grew up with. My mother was anxious. She'd lock herself in the room. She wouldn't come out. She would say things like, I'm having a nervous breakdown. So that's what I grew up. That's anxiety. Yikes. That's going to be me. So then I did research and I have friends in the space. And one of my friends interviewed me about my anxiety. She said, tell me all the things you're anxious about. I'm like, well, I'm anxious about fundraising for my center. What else? I'm anxious about making sure we do high quality work at the center. Okay. What else? And it kept going on. She goes, what do those have in common? I said, they're important to me. And she goes, so you get anxious about the things that are important to you. So why is that bad? One of the things that I've discovered in kind of writing a book about dealing with feelings is that you have to learn all the strategies. You have to learn them. And then you have to figure out where to practice them for which emotions. Like I said, the breath work will work great when you're feeling overwhelmed or something else, but it won't work if you're feeling envious of somebody. You can't breathe your way through the envy, which is, by the way, the top emotion that college kids feel these days. It's not anger, it's not fear, it's not overwhelm. They say they're overwhelmed and anxious and blah, blah, blah. But when I really investigate their feelings, it's envy. They think everyone else is going to do way better than they are going to do, and they're just comparing themselves endlessly. And then people think the solution is yoga. I'm like, sorry. I mean, I love yoga, but downward dog is not going to solve your envy. Sorry.
Quotes. Buy more.
There you go. Yeah, that make me lose my job. But anyhow, downward dog is great. I do yoga almost every day. I love it. It helps me have great well-being. It helps me de-stress at the end of the day. But if I'm feeling envy, I'm going to have to shift my brain. So that's where the cognitive strategies come in. You need to know how to do those things that we spoke about, that distancing stuff, or how to reframe, how to ask yourself, will this matter in a day or week? The next bucket is relationships. There's a phrase that we have that I think is so important, which is never worry alone. Why should we have to worry alone? Ultimately, we have relationships and people who can help us gain perspective. So here's the interesting thing about that, which is that people think I'm going to get advice. They're going to tell me what to do. That's not the job of what I call the Uncle Marvin or the Aunt Maria. It is the job of the co-regulator is to be non-judgmental, to be a great listener, and to show empathy and compassion.
I love that. Thank you so much, Mark.
Well, what we should do is we can ask your followers who are going to listen to this to send in the scenarios.
Great. Send in scenarios, people.
Yeah. I mean, I love that because that's where the creativity, because I really see emotion regulation as a game of creativity. It's like just, it's a fun game. Give me the problem and let's play with it and let's see how we can enter into that world of the child or the adult to help them think differently, to help them problem solve, to help them, again, achieve well-being.
Very helpful.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.